Hey, what's up? I'm Ofosu Jones Corte.
And I'm Leia Santa Cruz. We're the meditation coaches on balance.
And this is our weekly show, Well Balanced.
So, Ofosu, this is a busy time of year we're in right now.
It's the most busiest time of the year.
Where the kids are just yelling and everyone's telling you gotta be here.
Oh, snap. Look at you.
So this time of year can be pretty fun, but it can also be pretty busy.
Absolutely.
Just with travel, seeing loved ones, thinking about all the things that you have to get wrapped up before the end of the year that you hadn't completed, and wanting to spend time with people, quality time in the holidays means getting all those chores done beforehand. So it feels like a hustle to get it all done.
Yeah. And I find that it's actually the rumination, the mental busyness of it all is even more intense than the physical doing. Because you go out, you buy gifts, that's it. You do it one time. You clean up the house, that's it. You do it one time. But I might think of having to clean the house 100 times before I actually do it. Mm-hmm. But then there's also that imaginary finish line of the new year that, like, oh, I got to get this done. I got to have this call. I got to do this meeting and connect with this person before we get to the new year. And it's such an arbitrary deadline, but we all kind of feel connected to it in one way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. So the busyness is definitely kicked up.
Yeah. That's actually what I want to talk about today. What happens when all that busyness catches up to you? Because it will eventually.
Yeah.
For me, at least.
It definitely catches up to me as well. So it's a worthwhile conversation to have today, I think.
Well, I recorded a little clip of what I did recently when it all became a little too much, and you'll see how that went.
All right, let's hear it.
Well, it's the middle of the day, and today I was feeling a bit fatigued. I have been traveling a lot and visiting family and taking care of baby and just, you know, go, go, go. And feeling a little bit run down today because I took a long run yesterday and I'm a little bit sore. And so I decided to take a nap. And it was a moment where my inner friend came out and was like, you know what? You can take a nap. You deserve to just relax and let other people take care of the baby for a moment and just enjoy restoring yourself. And I often do that with meditation, but, you know, to just lie down and take a nap in the middle of the day is not something I normally do. So it felt really good to sort of take care of myself in this way. And I'm like having that inner friend come out and have that moment of just loving myself.
How does it feel to listen back to that now?
Yeah, I'm glad I took that nap because I tend to be, I like to say, a recovering workaholic.
Yeah.
And so there's a very strong aspects of my personality that want to do more, and just stay very, very busy.
Yeah.
And I think the run actually forced me to go, oh my, I physically can't do all that today.
Yeah.
It was a nice moment. I was like, I should do more of this.
Yeah.
I should take naps more often.
I'm actually coming off of a nap. So I really relate to just that feeling of deliberately giving yourself permission to take a nap.
Yeah.
Especially since it's been such a heavy year. And now that we have a few hours in the day when the kids go off to school, we really are giving ourselves permission to just decompress from a very heavy year.
Mm-hmm.
So woke up and was like, oh, you know, got them off to school and was like, okay, well, what needs to be done now? And then my mind was like, you know, you could just go back to sleep. So I did.
Nice.
And I feel great. Yep.
It's pretty amazing that we both just gave ourselves permission to nap.
Yeah.
You know, usually for me, at least, getting to this step of letting my body rest in that way is kind of hard to do.
Absolutely. Usually I am not in the space where I'm giving my body permission. It's usually that I've just hit a wall and I have no choice.
Yeah.
So deliberately saying, now I'm going to pause, now I'm going to lay down and give myself some rest is actually a pretty big deal.
Yeah. And obviously we're meditation coaches, so we're on the same page on the importance of rest, even when it's hard to make time for it.
But rest is not just for people who meditate. So I wanted to bring on a guest and share a different perspective on this. His name's Fahim Mujahid. He's a renowned performance psychology coach. He works with college and professional level athletes like the women's soccer team at University of Miami and Inter Miami CF, the Major League Soccer team.
That is awesome.
Yeah. And you know, for athletes, resting their bodies and minds is super important because how rested they are can affect their performance and the outcome of a game.
Mm-hmm.
But even for those of us who aren't athletes, how rested we are can affect how we move through the day and interact with others. So I want to see what we can learn from the philosophy that Fahim coaches his athletes with. Like for him, are rest days as important as conditioning days?
Yep.
These kind of questions. So let's welcome Fahim to our show.
All right.
Hello, Fahim. Welcome. Thanks for being here with us.
Hello, hello. Thank you for that beautiful intro.
It's great to have you. I know that you work with a lot of different elite performance athletes, people who are really on top of their game in sports. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you work with them in terms of incorporating rest into their routine?
You know, the conversation around rest is an interesting one, right? I find in my field, a lot of times when you're going into, especially the performance spaces that you're going into, they have so many resources and so many people contributing to keeping these athletes at top of their game, top of their fields. Mm. But I do find that there's a huge disconnect with how important it is to mentally detach and rest, just as important it is for the physical element of their performance to rest. But the conversation around how your mind, how the psychology of how you perform, how the mental state, how your cognitive function also needs to recharge is something that players at that level aren't necessarily getting access to earlier on. So those are the most challenging conversations.
That makes sense because we all kind of know a little bit about the fact that when you work really hard physically, your body needs to physically rest.
Yeah.
But I think it's like, especially if you're a recovering workaholic like me, maybe I'm not a performance athlete, but I tend to want to do. And I think a lot of people are that way in our culture. It's a do culture. And to give ourselves the permission to not do something can sometimes feel like, oh, am I being lazy? Or all these things that still need to be getting done.
Yeah.
So how do you think our need for mental rest is the same or different from our need from physical rest?
Yeah. I always challenge players to look at what I call the measured meaning. A lot of times we're always measuring and interpreting an experience based off our current measured meaning. So a lot of times that picture, that image that you have of yourself performing at a high level, or the exhausted player leaving it all on the field of competition, or the marathon runner crossing the finish line, crawling if she has to or he has to. The images that we receive, the stories that we're made to believe as far as what performance looks like, it doesn't leave room for rest. So that meaning that you're giving that rest that you needed at that time is going against a wall full of conditioning.
It brings to mind for me those walls that we've built over time that says that rest equals laziness, and that conditioning is really powerful. The messaging for anybody in any field was that more equals better. So more hard work equals success, and it's pretty linear. And so by inference, less hard work equals less success, and less is worse.
Mm.
But with what you're saying, you really are not able to do the hard work that equals success if you don't factor in time to rest and to refuel.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think the first step towards breaking down this type of conditioning is just figuring out how you can sense when you should give yourself permission to rest. I'm curious, Fahim, what do you think we should look out for in terms of signs, like mental signs or physical signs that that are telling us that we need rest?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the first place that you should probably create or arrive at is getting very clear about what you look like, not just in a mirror look like, but what does your life look like when you're fully engaged and fully rested?
Mm.
Professional athletes are no different from every one of us. A lot of times we're not really clear about what it looks like. What does optimum health feel like? And if you don't have anything to compare it to, then a lot of times what you can do is you can end up going through that experience without necessarily knowing what the experience is all about.
Mm.
So by you being able to kind of have this measurable, this clear indication of, okay, these are the words I usually use when I feel rested. These are the ways that I usually hold space for another person when I'm usually rested. this is the way that I usually engage with my work or my practice when I'm usually rested. So anything that has a tendency of falling somewhat south of that means that I'm going a little bit further to the not feeling rested than I am feeling really rested and connected to the work and to the purpose of what I'm doing. Mm. The second thing I think is important to do, and I tell this to my players all the time, if you can't maintain concentration or focus throughout the entirety of practice or through whatever that activity is that you're doing, you know, like most, Leia, cognitive function is a real thing.
Yeah.
And we only have a certain amount of it every day. So if you're depleting that before you can even start practicing and you find it hard to concentrate throughout the course of practice or throughout the course of the day, chances are you can probably use a little bit of rest and recuperation.
That makes sense. Totally. I think most people are going on a lack of sleep and rest deprivation in our culture.
For sure.
This has been wonderful to hear your perspective. What you were saying about just recognizing the signs that are out there that are saying, hey, you need some rest and it's okay. And it's actually better for your performance.
100%. 100%. I think these conversations are so important. And yeah, so I thank you. I thank you for allowing me to be a part of it.
Well, thank you. Thank you for talking with us.
Yeah, appreciate you.
You know, Ofosu, hearing Fahim talking about this cultural conditioning, how we teach athletes and everyone really to not prioritize rest makes me think about how this is somewhat specific in America, maybe, and probably some other places too. But I have seen other cultures do it better. They take a siesta in the middle of the day and it's like, oh, you know, we work and then we come home and then we sleep and then we eat and then we go back to work.
Yeah.
And they're out in the parks and there's this real art of doing nothing that is really commonplace in other cultures. And I think we're really uncomfortable with that in America.
Totally agree. It's like you have to earn your rest in the same way that you like earn a wage. So even last night, I had done quite a lot in terms of just activities for the day. And I was like wiped out in such a brutal way, but I had this like sense of pride, like, yes, I've earned this feeling of just being brutally just destroyed. I earned it. And I did not have that feeling when I woke up and I had to like really talk myself into taking a nap. So it's definitely not the intuitive feeling. I was talking to my mom and she was like, you know, you give yourself space to rest and then you're sitting there thinking like, what else could I be doing? Is this the right way to be using my time? And
there's the guilt.
Yeah, that relaxation guilt is something I'm very familiar with also.
Yeah.
Especially like with a little one, just to be like, you know, I'm just going to ask for support here. Can somebody watch the baby? I'm just going to go take a nap. It might seem like a small thing, but it's actually a pretty revolutionary thing given our cultural leaning.
Yeah. And to go, oh, I can give myself permission also means, well, I'm not going to go into shame or guilt or
right,
or spend that time being anxious. It's like a real shedding of, I'm just going to let all that go for now. I think it takes practice.
It really does.
So starting off little small breaks and then eventually giving yourself that long siesta. I would like to make it a regular part of my lifestyle.
We even talk about encouraging people to write in break times and relaxation times into their schedules. But I mean, if I'm being honest, I've never done that for myself. And I see empty space on my calendar and I feel the compulsory need to fill it with an activity. And honestly, I think that that's especially true for this time of year. Thinking about Fahim, the holidays are kind of like this long distance run or, you know, some kind of big athletic or triathlon, some kind of big athletic performance, you know?
Yeah, you know, I heard that every 4 or 5 hours of labor, of women in labor is equal to running a marathon. So I kind of think like every couple days you spend with family for the holidays is kind of like running a marathon, right? It's gotta be some sort of equivalent.
Yeah, I mean, so thinking about the importance of like factoring rest in there, you know, if I saw a friend or anyone doing what I tend to do, filling every available space on their calendar with something, without a doubt, I would tell them not to do that and to be deliberate in taking a break. Even thinking about this, realizing that we actually built a meditation in the Balance app, the holiday stress single. And the point of that is to encourage people to take breaks and take care of themselves during this time of year.
Yes.
Like anything else, it is so much easier to support others this way and to help them feel okay about resting. I can easily tell my friends and my loved ones, hey, it's time to take a break. But it's a lot more challenging to turn that inward and to be the one to give yourself that same friendly, compassionate permission.
Well, I've loved this conversation. It's definitely a great reminder. And it's just such a relief to give ourselves permission like that.
You know, Leah, thank you for opening up about that nap.
Absolutely.
It is so nice to see people taking care of themselves. And honestly, it helps encourage me personally to do the same. So
you're welcome.
All right, y'all, we are going to be back here again next week to talk about something new that life throws our way. So be sure to follow our show on your favorite podcast app so you can get notified when the episode is added. Please be kind to yourself, and we'll see you again soon.
Bye-bye.